Thank you for that, Jim. I appreciate that. I don't think I've heard that one before. Trust it has transported us back to that day. What it would have been like to have been one of the shepherds. Let's turn back to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38 is our text this morning. So we will look at the Christmas story, the account of the birth of our Savior as we work our way to Christmas morning, or Christmas Eve morning. We'll be looking at various passages here in Luke and Matthew, and looking at various people and individuals. Accounts and events that took place during this time. Verses 26 through 38, it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time now that we have to open thy word. Pray that our hearts and minds are open and now receptive to receive your word. That as the Holy Spirit is here gathered amongst us, for he lives within us, he is ready to use your word in our hearts as you desire and deem best and fit for us. And I pray, Father, that we would yield to that working, that as believers who are here, we would be conformed into the image of Christ, our Savior. For that soul that is lost, may you draw them unto thyself this morning. That they would see their need of Christ, see that how he died in their place for their sins. And may they by faith come to know Christ as their Savior, to have their sins forgiven, and Father, to have eternal life with you. Bless, we pray, as we look. May we go forth rejoicing in who you are and what you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beside Jesus Christ himself, probably no other Bible character has had so much distortion about them as Mary, the mother of Jesus. The Roman Catholics have made up the belief that she too was virgin born, and as the mother of God is worthy of worship and prayer. Truly, how utterly unbiblical that thought is. We read the scriptures, we read of Mary's comments that she will continue to say here, and it is very evident Mary is rejoicing in seeing that she will be the one to deliver the Savior, the one sent to redeem her from her sin. Whatever the Bible says is so, and nowhere does it venerate Mary as the Catholics do. But as we look at the real Mary this morning in our text, we find that Mary discovered things when the angel appeared to her. And I want to look at those things that Mary's discovered as we look through this passage some. Verse 33, we find Mary discovered that God's plans are eternal. Notice that he says, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." But look back at verses 31 and 32, where he says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Again, our verse, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." I dare say that Mary had her own plans. I mean, she is espoused. We would put it kind of, she's engaged, much more formal in their day, because we know that Joseph will try to ponder and think about a bill of divorcement because of finding out that she's expecting. We don't have a bill of divorcement if two are engaged and they break their engagement. We just break the engagement. The ring's given back and the two part their ways. There's no legal binding there. But under the Jewish traditions and the like, the engagement, as we would consider it, was binding. And we see this happening. I dare say that she's planning for that wedding day. Having the thoughts go through that young bride's mind of what's going to happen, how things are going to come about, and the hopes and plans that I think all young ladies have when they are anticipating their wedding day. Some of us, it's a little bit farther back, but ladies, I dare say you can think back to those days, those weeks, that months before that event, and thinking of all the plans that were going on, those dreams that you had. Some of them did come true, some other dreams, that wasn't part of our wedding, and we move on. But she would have had those. She's considering here Joseph, her future husband. What would their life be like together? He's a carpenter. What would their life be like together? How many children are they going to have? And all these things are running through her mind, I dare say. And then we have Gabriel coming to her. He's been a busy angel. We know the context. He's already been to see Elizabeth and Zacharias and all these things that are going on, and now he's come to Nazareth to announce to Mary that she too is expecting and has other plans for Mary. A special plan, truly an eternal plan. For when God tells us elsewhere that this plan of salvation through Jesus Christ has been since the foundation of the world, since before the world began, God had this plan in place. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would robe himself in human flesh and dwelt among us. God works on that forever basis, if you will. He has eternity in view. And I think sometimes we forget that as we read our scriptures, as we see the events unfold in it, and stop to consider nothing is catching God by surprise. We think in our own lives, nothing is catching God by surprise. He knows. He has these things laid out. He knows. He has that eternal view, that forever view, if you will, and knows what's coming and is not concerned. Should we not take comfort in that? Our God knows. I can rest at ease, because he's the one at work. Mary discovered that God's promises are unfailing. They're eternal, and with that understanding, they are unfailing. I dare say, as we see elsewhere, I would be led to believe that Mary is one of those that is anticipating her Messiah. I believe the shepherds were too. We know that Anna and Simeon were, when they just happened to be in the temple when Mary and Joseph bring their offering for Mary for her purification and the like after the birth of Jesus Christ. That was no coincidence. God had it all planned for them to see their Savior before they would pass from this life. But his promises are unfailing. But he comes to those that seemingly were in anticipation of the coming Messiah. And again, the Jews knew. All they had to do was read their Old Testaments. Or in their case, the Word of God. They didn't have it as an old one because they didn't have the new one yet. They would have read Daniel chapter 9, Micah chapter 5, and various other passages of Scripture that give them bits and pieces of their Messiah, where he was to be born, where he would come from, and all these things. And we find that God typically works with those that are working with him. He doesn't look to those that aren't in anticipation, who aren't looking to him. And so I say that to say that Mary, I would say, was one looking for him. And that's why she had favor with God. Because she was a young lady looking to the Lord. And we find that his promises are unfailing. The timing is coming down to when the Savior would be born. That clock that started with Cyrus's decree so many years ago, that Daniel unfolds in his 70 weeks, that clock has been winding down. And we're on the eve of when that Messiah would be revealed. And now God is active at work in the affairs of men. It's been 400 years of silence. And now the angel Gabriel starts making some announcements. Stirrings, if you will, of the heavenly host, letting the world know that the Messiah, the Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, is about to come. Again, I dare say that that brings great comfort to those that hear, be it the shepherds, be it Mary, be it Zacharias and Elizabeth, be it the wise men, God's word is true. It is unfailing. His promises aren't going to fail. When we read Isaiah chapter 7, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Again, they know these, and they are living in anticipation of him. And I'm sure Mary is wondering because she's in Nazareth. But the Savior is to be born in Bethlehem. We're 55 or so miles away from there, but God has all of those things arranged. It'll work out. But God's promises are unfailing. We need not think that God isn't going to do what he has said he would do. We touched on it a little bit this morning as we looked at in the Sunday school class and realizing God's not bound by time. He is long-suffering. His plan is unfolding. When he tells us, when Peter notes that 1,000 years is as a day and a day is as 1,000 years to the Lord. God knows. And time is nothing to him. His plan will unfold in his time. Nothing will stop it. Nothing will hinder. His clock is ticking. It's coming down. And at the right time, the events will take place. And we see that indeed with the birth of Jesus Christ. God had promised, and now God is fulfilling those promises. the Savior would be born. She would discover that God's power is unlimited. What a thought to be told that you're going to bear a son. You're going to call his name Jesus, Savior, your deliverer, the one who has been will come here to redeem you. What a thought. I mean, I dare say that most women that are about to be married are anticipating children. But here to be told that the son that you're going to have is to be the son of the highest. And she's pondering these things, and she asks that question. You know, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? How can I have a child when I haven't entered into our relationship as truly husband and wife? How can these things be? We'll jump down to verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. We may wonder, as Mary is doing, how can this be? With God, nothing shall be impossible. God's going to take care of this. Now, yes, we come back and we will see, how can these things be? The Holy Spirit would do what we would consider the impossible. The angel answers this question, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. God's going to bring about this conception, because he which is to be born is the Son of God. God is going to robe himself in human flesh. One of the greatest mysteries of the Scriptures. Jesus Christ was very God of very God, and very much a man like you and I. He was, yes, the God-man. Had to have both in order to redeem us. Hard to think about that and try to ponder, how does that work? But what a joy to know that it did. Our salvation is complete in Christ, because he is the God-man, very God of very God and very man of man. And God, through Gabriel, lets Mary know that it is the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Trinity, that's going to overshadow you, and conception will take place. And he notes, to help her understand this seemingly impossible thing, he relates to her something that Mary would know. And we see in verse 36 a little confirmation to help Mary understand that it is God's work, God's plan that's being worked out, and it's not of any human effort. He notes to her, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. As God helps to answer this question for Mary, how can these things be? I will take care of it, Mary. God is going to do the miraculous. And by the way, here's for you to help to understand this. Your cousin Elizabeth, who is old in age, is 6 months pregnant. She who is called barren is expecting a son. With God, nothing is impossible. If God could do that for Elizabeth and Zechariah, then God can take care of this, Mary. For someone in their old age is 6 months along. That's impossible. Not with God. The Israelites would understand that some because they have Abraham and Sarah as examples. Now they have Elizabeth and Zechariah as well. And God lays that out, that God's power is truly unlimited. God can do this because He's God. And that which He has planned from since before the world began is coming to fruition. And Mary, you're the one chosen to bear this son. What a discovery that day that Mary had. Luke will record for us and through all the events from this on forward that she's going to ponder them. She's thinking. She's taking these events in. They're reaching her heart. They're preparing her. We will see Mary throughout the rest of the Gospels. We find her at the foot of the cross. We find her afterwards in the beginning of the church. Why? Because from the very beginning, she had her mind on the Lord, and she followed His leadings. Doesn't mean that she understood everything. I dare say she was very much trying to wrap her head around this. I'm going to be overshadowed by God. A conception is going to take place without knowing a man. And yet she will know the fruition of that. She will know the truth of it. She will see the other events that take place. Yes, the shepherds coming, the wise men coming, the rapid departure down into Egypt to get away from Herod, the coming back, the coming to the temple and seeing Simeon and seeing Anna and hearing their words, and then going back and settling down in Nazareth to raise this son. She discovered a lot, and it bore fruit in her life, for she was a believer, and she followed this son throughout his life. May we discover those things too about our God. Well, He may not do the miraculous for us in that sense, but we've seen it done in the Scriptures. We worship and live for the same God who brought these events to place 2,000 years ago. His plan is still progressing. He still seeks to redeem those that are lost, just as Christ did in His day. May we be faithful in telling others. Again, what a great time of year to do that. Christmas. While there are other things that try to pull away from Christmas, we still have the celebration of that birth. And we, out of all people, have the opportunity to share why there is this Jesus Christ, this babe in a manger. Why there's a star. Why there are wise men. Why there are shepherds. Because that Son of God robed Himself in human flesh to die on the cross of Calvary in our place, bearing our sins in His own body on that tree. So so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Let me tell you about the Savior, that little baby in Bethlehem. What an offer, what a gift that we have to give to those around us. May we take it to them and share. God shared, as it were, because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world. May we take that message to those around us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths that are here. Father, as we see the account of the birth of Christ, we truly rejoice. Father, it fills our hearts with yes, love and adoration and worship of you, thanking you and praising you that you, in your great wisdom, knew that you had a redemptive plan in place for fallen mankind. And all through the ages that mankind has lived through, your plan has been unfolding. And Father, in the fullness of that time, you sent forth your Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that are under the law. He didn't come late, he didn't come early. He came just in time. We thank you for that. We thank you that you have, through the ages since that birth, have kept your word, have allowed it to be brought down through the ages so that we in our day can read of these events. And Father, that the Holy Spirit will use that to prick our hearts, to draw us unto thyself, to strengthen and encourage us as we walk with you. So Father, I pray that we would just, at this time of year, truly rejoice, thanking you and praising you for your Son, the gift of salvation that is found in him. May it freely and easily be on our lips to share with those around us. May we go from this place rejoicing that we've been redeemed. May you draw that lost one unto thyself. Do a work in our hearts with your word as we discover the things that Mary discovered. And truly, may we ponder them as she did. And Father, appreciate who you are and what you have done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.